Schön, dass du dir heute 21 Minuten nimmst. Wir leben in einer Zeit voller Lärm. Meinungen, Prognosen, Schlagzeilen. Und mittendrin die Frage, was davon zählt wirklich? 21 Minuten at 21. Nexus versucht genau das herauszufiltern. Keine Kommentare zum Tagesgeschehen, sondern Einblicke in die Gedankenwelt von Menschen, die gestalten. Überzeugungen, Entscheidungen und Haltungen, die langfristig den Unterschied machen. Fokussiert auf den Punkt. In 21 Minuten.
In dieser Folge spreche ich mit jemandem, den ich als unternehmerischen Mentor für Emerging Technologies beschreiben würde. Alek Johari, Gründer von Anemoi Solution. Alek begleitet Gründerinnen und Gründer nicht nur in die Technologie, sondern in die Umsetzung. In eigenverantwortliches, handlungsorientiertes Unternehmertum. Und das in einer Branche, in der viele über die Zukunft sprechen, aber nur wenige wissen, wie man sie tatsächlich baut. Noch ein kurzer Hinweis, das Gespräch führen wir auf Englisch. Mein Name ist Boris Jurczyk, ich bin Gründer von 21 Nexus. Herzlich willkommen. Dear Alek, welcome to 21 Minutes at 21 Nexus. It's great to have you here. All my guests, I asked myself how I would describe you in a short and precise way. And I came up with this. You are the entrepreneurial emerging tech mentor. You don't just guide founders into technology. You guide them into ownership, into action, and into building things that actually matter. And in a space full of ideas, that focus on execution is rare and highly relevant. And the broader community has taken notice. You are recognized as one of India's top 200 fintech and Web3 voices on LinkedIn. You are the founder of Anemoi Solution. You work closely with founders and companies to turn emerging technologies into real working business solutions. And this story makes me genuinely curious, and I very much look forward to what you will share with us in the next 21 minutes. Welcome.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Boris. You know, it's amazing to be here with you. And thank you so much for that kind introduction. You know, it just feels good. Yeah, let's go ahead. You know, I'm sure it's going to be a great discussion.
Okay, so let's start. You have worked with founders and companies across many different industries and countries. And at some point, you made a conscious decision to focus on helping businesses not just understand emerging technology, but actually implement it. What was the one moment when you thought there's a truly relevant problem here and I want to solve it?
Fantastic. So if you look at my career, you know, I've always worked in emerging tech, you know, like, but earlier, obviously, I was working with other people. So we started with, you know, if you go back early 2000, people talk about metaverse today. I have been building virtual worlds since 2007 for broadcasters. Right? Then time, it was just virtual worlds put together, you know, nice objects and, you know, a way of self-expression, so to say, right? So over a period of time, I worked in, you know, different solutions, AR, VR, touchscreen, Kinect, you know, motion capture. And say somewhere early 2020, you know, after COVID and all those things, I, you know, had this realization that, you know, the way the, you know, environment and the things were turning, that I should start something of my own, right? Let's put it that way. So I never wanted to be a standard. So I have always worked at the crux of design and development. So, I mean, we'll talk a few about projects, you know, like what I'd worked at London Olympics and whatever. So I've always worked at that crux, right? So I thought, you know, it has to be something which has to, you know, give people the ability to see the future. The environment, the universe was kind enough to give me those opportunities and, you know, work at certain projects and, you know, develop that eye that what would be coming next in, you know, like immediate to a near future. And I thought that would be the right way for me to help businesses, because eventually over the period of working about 20, 22 years, I realized that the only way to success is by helping others. As simple as that. There's nothing beyond it. Yes, money is important and, you know, you want to get paid for that. But the core intent has to be that, you know, you're doing it to help somebody, right? A willing, you know, like a the caveat here is the person needs to be willing to see what you're trying to show. You know, you can't, you know, somebody who's put a goggles on, you can't make them see much. But yeah, so that was the intent. So one pivot moment was, I think, somewhere in 2021, when I realized, yes, this is what I really wanted to do. And I never wanted to be a regular dev shop. You know, like the ones which have been there for about 21 years, you know, like the standard. We still use a lot of technologies, you know, like React and Java. I mean, not much of Java, but React and, you know, several others. But I did not want it to be similar to that, you know, like just doing one more, you know, agency doing that. So what I did was that understand what's new, what is upcoming. Luckily, you know, I had exposure to blockchain and NFTs was started talking about metaverse. I said, you know, I knew virtual worlds in a different context, you know, not as metaverse. So I realized, you know, what does metaverse context? So I did a lot of educate myself, did a bit of study. And yeah, so, I mean, I would say these were small moments which combined together and realized, you know, that I really want to help organizations be ready for the future.
Okay. However, the big step is the one from recognizing that there is a problem and doing something about it. So there's a lot of doubt, it's timing and the courage to get to let go of something familiar.
Yes.
How did you move from insight to action, and what gave you the confidence that this was the right path?
Okay. So I always had this inkling. So see, this is where, you know, my career will build up, will come into the future. So I've always worked independently. You know, that's what I would expect it, even in the organization that I'd worked. Thankfully, most of them gave me good enough freedom. So I acted like an intrapreneur rather than a, you know, simple employee, because I was thinking about, you know, how to grow the revenue for the organization, how do we optimize this, how to make, you know, customer success and stuff like that. So that gave me the, yes, but then at the end of the day, I was still getting a good, nice paycheck. So getting mentally attuned that, you know, from next month onwards, there's not going to be any paycheck and I'll have to earn for it. So how do I say it? I think that's where my family also, you know, supported me a lot, you know, because I went to them and I said, you know, this is what I'm planning to do. I feel this is the right situation. And I'll give you one thing, you know, that I've never shared before with anyone. I told them that in the next 3-4 years, people at my position will face a lot of tough challenge. You know, who you are a middle senior management, you know, you drawing a good salary, right? So organizations will start optimizing for it. Somehow I had known that. And this is exactly what I told them. So I think, you know, I feel is the right time. My father was not into business. Right. So there was no, I mean, extended family was. So there was no direct correlation how you do business or how do you become an entrepreneur, right? So I had to learn all of these things. That's where a lot of books came into the picture. And, you know, thankfully, a lot of friends also came in, you know, to help there. So, yeah, so that was the jump, right? But I was very clear in my head that I want to do something of my own. And I did not create a plan B for myself. I never thought that, you know, if this doesn't happen, let me start with this. Thankfully, over a period of time, I had some savings, which I started putting into the business, you know, for the regular bills, for the kids going to school and stuff. But one thing, you know, I would say that which really, really stayed with me is the clear vision that I want to do this. And I did not create a plan B. So these two things really, really, you know, kind of supported and guided me in tough times also, that I have to do this. There's no other choice.
Okay. Many companies talk about innovation and digital transformation, but the gap between the idea and the actual implementation is often enormous. What is the core problem you are solving with Anemoi Solution, and what makes your approach different from simply advising on technology?
Okay, fantastic question. I think there are two problems, I would say, or rather two kind of industries, you know. So one thing is that I started working with startup guys, because startup, you know, people who have ideas, they are very, very good, but they have ideas. You know? Not everybody knows how to implement, right? They know that need a bridge from A to B, but they don't know how to build the bridge. So I came in for building that bridge for them. You know, you have ideas, fantastic. And it's just not building the bridge. Where I partnered with people is, you know, people like yourself, is just not with the knowledge, but, you know, like just sharing what can be done, what should not be done, and, you know, kind of guiding along the way. It was not, you know, like somebody tells me, I want this, I'll build it. You know, I'll make it for you. No, I said, why do you need this? What is the actual problem that you're trying to solve? Because if I build it and it, you know, the outcome doesn't solve the actual problem, then you're not going to like me, you know, as simple as that. So my idea was always that, you know, do you see the problem clearly enough? Because I have seen that over a period of time. So I have that, you know, incapacity experience. So that's where, we help founder guys, you know, like we build the bridge, build the product for them, also help them understand their target market before building it. And I've created a nice process around it, you know, where we try and optimize for time, resources, money, you know, so that founders don't end up spending a lot of money upfront. Slowly and steadily, it gets built up, you know, with a lot of validation put into the process. Example, yesterday, you know, I saved somebody about close to 40 to 50,000 euros with just my suggestions and, you know, and they were like, wow. And the second part is for the enterprises, because enterprises are big. They usually take lesser time to move around and, you know, go with the solution. So my suggestion to them usually is around, you know, how we can actually look at one problem for you, the biggest pain point, and then let's kind of uncover it from a new perspective, right? And then solve it instead of just going, you know, because you're a big and you already know. Because if you already knew, you would not be looking for somebody like me, you know, or you would have solved it, right? So these are the two things we're trying to do. Mm-hmm.
What do you see more clearly today than when you started? And what has surprised you most about how companies actually adopt new technology?
Okay, so I'll answer the second question first, you know, how surprising part. The surprising part is the bigger companies take a long time to take a decision. The startup guys, you know, the guys who are like, guys or girls basically, you know, the people who are building their own startups, they're much more, they're much more open to ideas which challenge their comfort zones, you know, what they're used to. And that becomes easier to have a very open discussion. You may or may not end up working together. That's a separate question because there are a lot of other factors for that. Cost, time, scale, a lot of things. But as long as, you know, the direction is there, you know, if you give it perspective, you say that, you know, where blockchain will. So a lot of people came initially, you know, when the blockchain boom started, that they want to just put in the blockchain without understanding, will it actually solve their problem? Will actually be suited for the kind of solution or the target audience, right? See, blockchain is something that, which is like an infrastructure layer. It's like that engine of the car. You know, it is there, but, you know, you don't need to know how it functions, right? It just needs to be able to, you know, give you a nice speed experience of driving a car. Similarly is blockchain, you know, it forms one of the basis infrastructure, which is there, but you don't need to know. But people came in, you know, because of the back. Just using the tag that you're a blockchain based company and stuff like that. So making this understandable to the startups is easier, and the big guys, it takes a little longer, you know, because the wheels are a little bigger, you know, it takes a little longer time to make that. So that was a little surprise. I thought the ones who become big must be much more easier to convince because they've already, you know, done those cycles multiple times and they've already gone through different innovation cycles. But it was kind of contrary. That was the surprise. And what was your first question? Sorry, could you repeat that?
What do you see more clearly today than when you started your company?
Okay. So more clearly today, I see the importance of money being built into the solution. Earlier, I thought, you know, you just go and you talk and you solve people's problems and, you know, you people will be happy to pay. I realized that not everybody is like that. That was a big revelation, you know, transitioning from... being in a job to a business, and also from a solution and a solution oriented person to how to actually build a business, right? So I started infusing slowly. That was a lot of learning that I had to do at my level, you know, just to understand how to talk, bring money without any negative connotations, you know, like, you know, most people around the world, because having traveled, I know as a general that most people are taught that money is evil and, you know, there's a lot of negative connotations. But to some extent, you know, I see money spiritual. You know, it's a mode of transaction. It's more of your energy transformation and exchange, right? So that was another thing, you know, which I did not know when I started, which I know now. So now the money conversations are much more easier.
Interesting. So looking into the future, if you had one wish for the next 12 months, what would need to happen for Anemoi Solution and for you personally as an entrepreneur and mentor?
Yes. So I would say there are two, three wishes, you know, which come to my mind. So one is obviously I want to meet at least one entrepreneur or an innovation specialist every day. You know, that's the wish. So I want to have 365 discussions, maybe more, you know, if possible, you know, with one new person, with one new idea, you know, who I can impact, or maybe I can learn from, you know, because it's not always giving. Sometimes I have to understand also. So that challenges my notion and the knowledge so far. So that is one. The second is I'm starting an event, you know, event series. We are discussing, we're going to start with Delhi. I mean, I'm based in Delhi, so, you know, start it here. It's going to, first event is happening in April. We are still logged in on the dates, either 18th or 25th. So I'm going to take that global. We're doing that one event every day, and I'm going to release the name soon. I mean, to you, I'm going to tell you offline, but you know, we're pretty much close with that name, and we want to do that. The wish will be to take it, you know, global, you know, to have it in places like Hamburg, you know, and the Netherlands. I mean, I want to take it especially to the places I want to help, the ones, you know, who have always supported us, you know, my partners, clients, you know, as you may call it. And bring in the ecosystem together, you know. I mean, we try to create something different, like all entrepreneurs think they are. You know? So once we go and test the waters, we'll know, you know, how unique that is. But yes, that's the idea. So that's the wish. How do I say it? And yeah, that's about it.
Okay, already the last question, but for many listeners, perhaps the most important one. If someone is listening who is considering taking the leap into entrepreneurship, or struggling to turn a business idea into something real, what is the one insight you would absolutely want to share with them?
Okay. So these are two separate questions. I'll try and give an insight for each, right? The first one is, who wants to start something of their own, right? I would say, if the feeling is there and if there's inkling in there, you know, which doesn't let you sleep, it's a very, you know, like age old saying, everybody says this, but if it is true, it doesn't let you sleep, give it a go. And give it a go from the point of not having a plan B. Try and gain knowledge when you do that, you know. Have enough information that this is what I'm going to do. Do some market research that will it work, will it not work. And, you know, have some understanding. And align with your immediate, you know, friends and family, especially family, because they will be the first ones to be impacted by whatever choice you make, you know, your decision. Align with that and then give it 100%, 110%. Don't even look back, you know, if I had done that, if I had done, no. You should always keep pivoting, you know, in terms of your thought process. And you'll have a lot of learning to do if you're coming from, say, 10, 15, 20 years of experience in a job to starting your own thing. You're going to have a lot of unlearning to do from a mindset point of view. So give yourself that much time and back yourself, you know, be confident, yes, I'm going to make it. It's not going to happen on day one. It's not going to happen on day five. But it will definitely start showing up slowly and steadily, you know, when you keep showing up for yourself. Right. So that's one, first part. Second, for somebody who's going to scale and, you know, have some ideas, my suggestion to them would be, look at people who have already done what you're trying to do. Partner with people, you know, be open about sharing your ideas, you know, and be open to learning. Because once you have different perspectives, you never know which idea of yours can actually benefit you, you know, idea of theirs, you know, which discussion that you'll have with different people can actually benefit you. And make them partners with open heart, you know, not just like, you know, okay, I'm going to do this and that. I mean, you know, like, don't be nitpicky at that point. Take time to choose a partner, but once you've chosen a partner, work with them wholeheartedly. You know, that's the only way, you know, that I know how it's going to scale. And yeah, that's about it.
Super. Very insightful. Many thanks for that. That's it, Alec. Thank you very much for your time and your openness. Yes. 21 minutes, definitely well spent. For everyone who wants to learn more about you and Anemoi Solution, you can find all the information at anemoisolution.com. And of course, on LinkedIn under Alec Johari, and it's definitely worth it. So thank you very much, Alec, and hopefully see you again in this format.
Oh, absolutely. You know, thank you so much, Boris. Lovely. You know, I didn't realize, you know, we've passed so much time and, you know, we've had such a good discussion. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks. Anderen zu helfen als Kernantrieb für unternehmerisches Handeln. Eine Erkenntnis, die einfach klingt und in der Praxis sehr prägt. Drei Gedanken aus dem Gespräch mit Alec, die bleiben. Erstens, Erfolg entsteht nicht durch Wissen, sondern durch die Bereitschaft, anderen zu helfen. Alec bringt über 20 Jahre Erfahrung in Emerging Technologies mit. Und seine wichtigste Erkenntnis ist denkbar einfach. Wer echten Mehrwert schafft, wird auch erfolgreich sein. Nicht als Strategie, sondern als Grundhaltung. Zweitens, kein Plan B. Wer sich eine Hintertür offen lässt, geht durch sie. Alec hat beim Schritt in die Selbstständigkeit bewusst darauf verzichtet, nicht aus Leichtsinn, sondern aus Überzeugung. Und drittens, Unternehmertum ist keine Einzelentscheidung. Alec hat seine Familie früh einbezogen, nicht als Formalität, sondern als echtes Gespräch, über Risiken, über Veränderungen und über Verantwortung. Wer diesen Schritt geht, sollte ihn nicht alleine gehen. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wenn auch dir dieses Gespräch interessante Denkanstöße gegeben hat, freue ich mich natürlich sehr. Und auch die nächsten Gäste werden wieder sehr spannend. In diesem Sinne, auf Wiedersehen und bleibt neugierig.